unto salvation. So we had a discussion of that briefly before the Sunday school, and Romans chapter 10. I got to go there. Excuse me. And you remember that I pointed out to you that we shouldn't put too much stock in the fact that he says, if you confess with your mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is not as though he was making like two conditions or adding a new condition, the confession being the second one. But he is simply trying to match those statements with Deuteronomy chapter 30 that Clay read. That it is in your heart and in your mouth. And so he is matching those. With the mouth you confess unto salvation. With your heart you believe unto righteousness. With your mouth you confess unto salvation. Not two things. As I explained, the two things are essentially parallel. Confessing unto salvation is the same as believing with the heart unto righteousness. They're basically parallel. And he's trying to match those rhetorically with Deuteronomy 30:14. And not only that, but then he reverses the order, which he creates in literature what is called a chiasm, where there's a progression out to here and then a progression back by reversing the order of the two things. So please don't understand this as having some sort of new condition to salvation. Is verbal confession. Now, I do believe in verbal confession of God, but it is not a condition of salvation. It is the result of salvation. One confesses unto salvation. But it is with the heart that one believes unto righteousness. Folks, if you haven't got that by chapter 10 in the book of Romans, we got to go back and do the whole thing over again. Belief and eternal life and righteousness comes by belief in the heart. And that's it. By faith alone. Salvation by, or justification by faith alone. The confession flows naturally from the regenerate heart. Would we all agree with that? And the person who will not confess Christ publicly, or will not confess Christ with his mouth, seems to me to be a person that has not been regenerated. Okay. But it isn't the confession that makes him regenerate. It's the regeneration, the salvation that makes him confess. A person confesses what is true about him in his soul. I had purposely not finished my message, and I said that I would leave it for today. We were examining what this is the Apostle Paul is trying to define what saving faith is. It is believing with the heart unto righteousness and confessing with your mouth unto salvation. Those, he's trying to define what it means to have saving faith. Remember, the context of everything that we've been talking about is it has to do with the Jews have not found this. The Jews have missed salvation because they sought it according to the law. And now he's saying, but no, it is not mysterious, as Clay so aptly read. It is not mysterious, and it's not far from you. It is rather in your mouth and in your heart to be done. It is not far away, he says to the Jews. You don't have to go to heaven to bring Christ down. You don't have to go to hell to bring him up. In the resurrection, I think it's an allusion to the resurrection. Rather, it's in your heart and in your mouth, even the word which we preach. He is saying what salvation is. It is simple, it is straightforward, it is clear, and it is available to anyone who will believe. That's his message here. And that he's saying that this faith that you must believe has content. That's where we left off last week, and I want to pick up there. That faith has content. Faith is not something that is empty. It is not merely an experience. But it is an act of belief that has content. to it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but John MacArthur wrote, what is that book? The Gospel According to Jesus. Right. And it's talking about cheap faith. What do you call it?
Cheap grace.
Or no lordship salvation. In other words, there is this school of theology that comes out of Dallas Theological, but actually more out of a man, out of a person. Zane Hodges. That you can be a Christian and not have Jesus as Lord. You can have him as Savior, but not have him as Lord. You see what we're headed, don't you? What he's saying is cheap grace. You can have salvation and live like you want to. And later on, if it's convenient for you, you can have Jesus as Lord. When you mature and when you get old and you're tired of sinning so much, then you can take Jesus as Lord. I'm being facetious. But essentially, that's where we're headed. Antinomianism is the old word for it. The idea that somehow you can be saved and not have Jesus as Lord. But I don't know what you think, but Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells me pretty conclusively that unless you first confess Jesus as Lord, you cannot be saved. That's it. It's fairly plain. And so I don't know where that puts no lordship salvation, but I'd say it's no salvation at all. That a salvation without Jesus as Lord is no salvation. You must first recognize that He is Lord or you cannot be saved. There is no way. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're a small child. I don't care if you're an old person. You must understand that Jesus is Lord. And the word for Lord here is Yahweh. It is the word that translates the Hebrew Yahweh, which means He is Lord of lords and God of gods. Jesus is that. You must believe that He is God and that He is Lord of all, or there is no salvation. There it is. This has content. The modern idea of faith sometimes is the idea that faith doesn't need any content. That is sort of a neutral thing, that you don't really have to believe anything in particular. You just have to have a faith experience. Wrong. That any faith or saving faith that doesn't have this content, and this content that is so explicit, one, that Jesus is Lord, and two, that God has raised him from the dead. Content. Faith has content. Does it mean that you have to understand dispensationalism or eschatology or anything else? No. Does you have to understand the penal substitutionary atonement? No. Do you have to understand that Jesus is Lord? Yes! And unless you do, you are not saved. Because that is what salvation is the recognition that Jesus is Lord, Lord of all, that He is sovereign God, and that He can dispense salvation as He wills. And that He does. John chapter 6 says that He will. He calls whomever He wills. Amen? We have learned that in Romans chapter 9. We have learned that in Romans chapter 8. It is God who calls. It is we who respond. But my point is that I want to leave you with here is that this gospel has content. This faith that we have has content. It is not just an amorphous expression of faith in something. It's a faith in one man, Jesus Christ. And that man, this is an absolute apparent contradiction, seems like. That man is God. A man is God? That's what they were having trouble with when they said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Do you see? You have to believe that Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven. You have to believe that He is Lord. That's the content of faith. You must understand who Jesus is. That's what makes our faith, in the end. You all know that I have a great interest and desire for you to know theology. But theology flows first from the realization. The reason I want you to know theology is because I believe, or I'm assuming you already know, Jesus is Lord. All right. And if Jesus is Lord and you already believe that, then you know to, need to know it more accurately. You need to know it more fully, more comprehensively. But if you don't know that He is Lord, forget the theology. You have to go back and take first things first. You remember that message I preached a long time ago? First things first. Because this faith has content. People today think they're inventing something new. In fact, that same attitude of faith that has no trust in Christ, that's just an amorphous view of faith. Faith is just trusting something. It's not a new kind of thing. The gospel has always had this content. And it was understood in previous days. And that those who denied this were considered heretics and would be excommunicated. That's right. If you don't believe that Jesus is Lord, you would be excommunicated. Or considered an inquirer of a lost person who is hearing the gospel. But if you were in a church and you didn't confess Jesus as Lord, you're immediately a heretic and you would have been excommunicated, of course. Because they understood that the gospel and our faith has content. And the first block of that content is that Jesus is Lord. Anything else is a counterfeit faith. This is the only saving faith, the one that has Jesus Christ as Lord for its basic content. It is objective truth. What does that mean? Well, this is an important concept to me. So much of religion today, we have people claiming to be religious and even preaching Christ that themselves do not believe that there is objective truth at all. That is, that there's a truth that exists apart from me or you or whatever. It's objective and it exists. There are people preaching Christ and churches preaching Christ that don't believe that there is such a thing as objective truth. Does everybody know that? It's a modern philosophy. Actually, it's an old philosophy, but that there is nothing objective. There's no objective truth. Everybody makes their own truth. And that morality is not objective. That different cultures have different moralities. But I guarantee you, that's not true in the case of this faith, saving faith in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It is objective truth. Jesus is Lord, and that Jesus is a man in history. He existed 2,000 some years ago. He was on this earth. He is part of history. He is objective. He is real. And He has gone back to the right hand of His Father who is in heaven. We may not understand all of that, but it's real. It's objective truth. It is content. It is what you must believe if you will be saved. It's almost impossible for me to imagine until we had visited Mars Hill Church over there that you would have a church service that would claim to be Christian and not mention the name of Jesus Christ. You may think that was just inadvertent or something, but for me, it's an egregious error. whatever you're doing, if it isn't naming the name of Christ, and if it isn't based on His name, His person, the objective truth of Jesus Christ, it's anything but not Christianity. It isn't Christianity. It's religion of some sort, but not Christianity, because Christianity is based on the objective truth of a person, Jesus Christ. And the part of that content of your faith must be that Jesus is Lord, that He is God, Jehovah God, and that He is Lord of all. And it must be that that truth is objective. He is central to Christianity. What He did, the knowledge of who He is, what He did, and the meaning of what happened to Him is the core, the very foundation of our faith. And it is the only saving faith. Now, you know, I am, if I use the word broad-minded, is that okay? You guys are not going to throw me out of here. I'm broad-minded. I hear a lot of ideas and so forth, and wild ideas don't bother me. I'm kind of amused by them, as a matter of fact. I like kind of crazy ideas and all that stuff. But when it comes to the faith, I got to tell you right now, it's Christ or nothing. There is no salvation in Islam. Zero. There is no salvation. Hold on. In Mormonism. There's no salvation in Buddhism. It's only in Jesus Christ. And Him as Lord, not as one of the gods, but as Lord. And if you don't believe that, you're not saved. That is the content of our Lord, of our gospel. His name, He is not incidental to this faith, but is the essential content. Without Him, the whole thing becomes chaos and stupidity. If there is no Christ and He is not Lord, I tell you, get up out of your seats and run out of here. It's stupid. Look at the story. If He is not Lord, He was some goofy Israelite that died on a cross and claimed to be from heaven. You'd be a fool to believe that unless it were true. The whole thing is chaotic and stupid without Christ being Lord. But when He is Lord, then we find that there's a narrow gate that we preached of on Monday night. There's a narrow gate. And it's the only one that you could pass through that will be saved. And that is that Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I hope that that if there's anything that we would know, that anyone would know about our church here, is that we are Jesus Christ centered. Christocentric, I don't care what you call it, what fancy word you use, but I want everybody to know that we worship Jesus Christ, that He is Lord, and that God has raised Him from the dead, and therefore we are justified. And we, all of those things are beautiful to us. All of those things are the only gospel that makes sense. And the fact that it is exclusive is based on the reason, for one reason alone. It would be, if there was, there would be salvation in Buddhism and in Islam and in any other religion if Jesus was just one of many gods. There would be. Yeah, you know, you could entertain the thought that maybe Buddha is a god, and that Allah is true God. But Jesus is Lord. And if He is Lord, we know from the Old Testament that God says, my name is jealous. Do you guys remember that? From my name is jealous. I will not share my name with any God. He is above all. There is no gods other than Jehovah God. There's one God and one only God. And His name in the incarnate expression is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is Lord. There it is. The content of the gospel. That's what you need to focus on. Two things. Jesus is Lord. Let's take these one at a time. Jesus is Lord. And secondly, God raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. Boy, doesn't that make... it's been so overused that I call it bumper sticker religion. You guys remember that from years ago? Bumper sticker religion. If there's anything that makes me mad, it's bumper sticker religion. Honk if you love Jesus or something like that, you know. Jesus is Lord. What? What does that mean? And who cares? Bumper sticker religion is more about you than it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bumper sticker is, you've put a bumper sticker on your car. I don't know who's got the... Maybe you've got someone. Please don't get offended. But as my own view is, if you put a bumper sticker on your car that talks about Jesus, it is you wanting to everybody to identify, there's a person who believes in Jesus. But you're not trying to convince anyone to believe in Jesus. Because when you say Jesus is Lord, the unbeliever passes by you and says, that's a person stupid. Person is stupid. Guess what? When I pass by, I say, that person is stupid. I don't like bumper sticker religion. I'd rather you'd spend one word sharing Jesus Christ with a person, in person, and tell of the hope that is in you, than to put bumper stickers all over your cars and windows and everything else. Let's get serious about this. Jesus is Lord. By the way, I say it and I'll say it again, that when you put it on a bumper sticker, that's trivializing it. But when you speak it with your heart, you have just asserted the greatest doctrine in eternity. Jesus is Lord. Huge doctrine. What? You believe that this man who died on a cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is God? That's exactly right. I have just asserted so much doctrine, it is amazing to me that people would say doctrine don't make any difference. Because when you say Jesus is Lord, you have just been doctrinal. There's no way you can do it. I've already mentioned the fact that that this word Lord is used to translate the Old Testament tetragram, or what was it? Was that all right? Tetragram. The four letters that the Jews were hesitant to speak, even the name Jehovah, where they added vowels to it, isn't really kosher. But they didn't speak. It's kind of like Islam. Have you ever seen Islam? That they every time you say the name Muhammad, they say blessed. Well, how does it go? Or something like that. They just the very mention of the name and everything. Even the Jews, they didn't want to mention his name. We have some people that's been on the list. Is Die around? Die? I don't know if you remember this guy, but that he would write, and every time he'd reach the name Jesus, he would leave it blank and put in... she's nodding. She remembers that. Every time the name Jesus was there, he would put in asterisks. He was so Jewish, he didn't want to mention the name of Jesus. Nonsense! That is so stupid. It just makes my head want to explode. The Bible says you must confess that Jesus is Lord if you're to be saved. I'm not embarrassed by his name at all. Love his name. Jesus Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. Yeshua, or Joshua in the Old Testament. Savior. Wow. Without that content, you do not have salvation. Now, we have covered quite a bit, and I've run out of time again, it appears. And I still have some things to say. But I am going to advance the argument a little bit. I believe that we've, Romans 10, 9 and 10, I'm going to add a couple of verses to it next week. But be patient with me. There's much that we want to do. I haven't even mentioned the name Sandomanianism. The very notion that if you confess verbally the name of Jesus Christ, you're saved. That's what it is. Sort of a magic thing. We mentioned it last week, but there's a whole issue. That is not a new doctrine. That is not a new thing. And some of our Arminian friends, some Baptists, have gone so far, like Jack Hiles would have been guilty of this. If we can just get these people, trick them into say a prayer, Lord, come into my heart and save me. That just by merely saying the words, you are automatically saved. And so that he would tolerate, Jack Hiles, a so-called fundamentalist preacher, would tolerate deception, trickery, and everything else if you can just get a person on their knees and say, Lord, I receive you into my heart. Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord. I receive you into my heart. That makes you a Christian. No, that's an error that's been around for an awful long time. And I want no one to misunderstand about that. It doesn't matter. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if you're saved or not. The Bible says you must believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And those two things flow together, confession and everything. And that's the reason that as a pastor and as a person that interviews and speaks to people about their faith and about their beliefs, you can tell me that Jesus is Lord. Like 24 hours a day. And it means absolutely zero to me. Unless you show to me, unless you can prove to me that you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and that Jesus is Lord. How do you prove in your life that Jesus is Lord? Deuteronomy 30:14. He that loves me keeps my commandments. Hello. So you will excuse me if I bypass your verbal confession and move to your life. Because your verbal confession is emptiness unless it flows out by your confession. And when I say confession, I don't mean verbal. I mean you confess Jesus Christ as Savior by living for Jesus Christ as Savior. And until that time, people, it's up in the air whether you're a Christian or not. It's only when I see you living for Christ that I can say, ah, there's a person been saved. How do you judge them? Wow. You all know, don't you? And the crowd said, by their works. Did your works save you? No. Does your works judge you? Yes. That unless your confession that Jesus is Lord be attended by faith works, it is an empty and dead faith, James chapter 2. So we have proven, and we will prove even more next week, that a mere confession, a mere verbal confession, is absolutely empty if it doesn't have the belief in the heart unto righteousness. That's what salvation is. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again we go over this because it is so vital and important to a modern world that has perverted the gospel in so many ways. Some have made it too easy. Some have made it too hard. But Father, we understand from this scripture that it is near us, that we need not go into heaven to bring Christ down or to go into the abyss to bring Christ up. That all of this has been accomplished and it is near everyone, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word which we preach. And so that every person who will believe this gospel can be saved. But Lord, help us to never preach an empty, vacuous gospel, but to preach one with solid content that Jesus is Lord and that you have raised him from the dead. It is that Christ that we preach today. It is that Christ that we have put our trust in. No other God, but Jesus is Lord. All others are apart from him. He is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And with this great testimony on our lips, we conclude this time of proclaiming it. And we ask that your Spirit cause each of us to sink this deep into our hearts, where it will be established forever until we either die or you come again in glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.